Thank you for the opportunity once again to come and to share the Word of God with you. And I do pray that your heart this morning will be encouraged, challenged if need be. We just pray that the Holy Spirit would do His work through His Word. Now, for some of you who are not aware of who Gwen and I are, we've been missionaries in Ireland for the past 25 years. And each trip back to Canada gets a little bit more difficult. So we realize that you're only going to have to put up with us so often. All the wires I have on me remind me of the month that Gwen was in the hospital on the verge of death at the beginning, and yet God was pleased to leave her for a few more whatever years. And we also realize as we get older that God has left us here for a specific purpose. If you're here and you're a born-again Christian, God has a purpose for the whole of your life. But I find the closer I get to the end, the less I want to push aside things that don't really matter. There's things in life that we do that just don't really matter in the light of eternity. This summer, a friend of mine helped me produce a little track, and I see a copy of it out on the thing at the back there. The title of the track is called Post-Retirement. Now, inevitably, when I share the track with someone, I ask them, have you done anything about this? They start telling me about all their plans for retirement. And I'm thinking, my God, they don't know what the word post means. It's more than something sticking out of the ground that holds up barbed wire. Gwen had a lot of post-treatment when she came home from the hospital. At the age of 5, I entered Lamab Public School, which just over here is the, now is the community center. At the first, there was a struggle, crying, and in settling in and getting on with life. Now, 2 years later, my brother started school, but it wasn't really school. It was called kindergarten. Anybody here ever heard tell of kindergarten? We don't really use that term now, is it? Pre-kindergarten and pre-pre-kindergarten. They start at 3, yeah, in Ireland. Anyway, on with the show, this is it. What was the purpose of kindergarten? Well, it was to introduce you to school. He only got to go 3 days a week. When I went into grade 1, away you go, 5 days a week. Kindergarten prepares us for public school, and public school prepares us for high school, and high school prepares us for college or university. And that's supposed to prepare us for a job. And when most of us get a job, then we start preparing for what? Retirement. We put a little, what do we call it, egg in the nest. Is that familiar saying in Canada, egg in the nest? Yeah, it is in Ireland too. Why then does this switch off? The majority of people that I speak to don't give any consideration to post-retirement. And logic should tell me that if kindergarten ended one day, and public school ended one day, and secondary school ended one day, and college and university ended one day, and employment ended one day, that surely to God, retirement's going to end one day. Willie, you're over there in Amen Corner. You should be piping up, bud. Is that an amen? Yeah. Why do people not make plans for post-retirement? I can't imagine you taking me down to Toronto and saying, here, get on this plane, and you hope that when it lands that you're in a good spot. That to me, that would be ludicrous. You couldn't, well, you might throw me on the plane. You'd have to tie me down. But I had no interest in going someplace that I don't know. I've been to places I surely wouldn't want to live. And yet, people do that. They come to the end of their life, and they step out into eternity hoping somehow for the best. Well, life itself should teach us that we don't always experience the best here, do we? I buried my father, my mother, brothers, sisters, nieces, nephews. That's not the best. The sheer enormity of eternity, which is a concept that we are aware of but cannot understand. It's like infinity. I listened to Peter Robinson speak years ago up in Bancroft Bible Chapel, and he said, this is how I like to describe eternity. A line with an arrow on each end. And we can't comprehend that, can we? Always been, always will be. Everything we know is locked into time in our brain, beginning and end, beginning and end, beginning and end. How many here have ever heard the song, The Cycle of Life? Put your hand up if you have you heard that song? Oh, period. Good, or somebody in common. And it's just the fact that somebody dies and somebody's born. Somebody dies and somebody's born. Somebody dies and somebody's born. The cycle of life. But you know that one day that cycle's going to end. We know that, don't we? Because we read of an eternal resting place where there's no more sorrow, nor crying, nor death. That one day, I'm going to live in a body that will not be subject to death. Similar to the resurrection body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Peter said, if you can imagine the line with an arrow on each end, your life and my life is like taking a pin and touching the line. I look out over the crowd, and there's a lot of people here my age and maybe some plus. And it seems like yesterday I walked the first time into Lamab Public School. 5 years old, crying my eyes out. Now, one of the reasons why it's imperative to think about eternity, and not only to think about it, but to be prepared for it, is the sheer enormity of it, number one. And number two, that when anyone dies, physical death is not the cessation of life. If you only grasp one thought that I share this morning, I pray that that would be it. Before my wife was saved, that scared the daylights out of her. She was going to live forever somewhere. Listen to what James says. The body without the spirit is dead. The body without the spirit is dead. There's a car crash, somebody dies in the hospital, whatever. And they come along, there's no pulse, there's no heartbeat, and we say that person died. Well, what happened? Obviously, the life left. That's just a simple conclusion, isn't it? When Jesus hung on the cross, he bowed his head and did what? He dismissed his spirit. And the soldiers come along and pronounced him dead already. The body without the spirit is dead. Now, I want to read a few verses from Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. We're not going to read it all, just for sake of time. But I just want to share a point with you that the end of physical life is not the end of life. The soul and the spirit has separated from the body, and we say that person, but really we should say that body is dead. There's no life left in the body. It can't function, it can't smell, it can't taste, it can't think. It's dead. Now, Jesus tells a story. He said, there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And then Jesus said, and so it was that the beggar died. Well, that's natural, isn't it? The cycle of life. And he was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. Now, that's not natural. We don't see that. We can't see that. But he left planet Earth and he went someplace else. And the rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in hell, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. So he is very conscious of where he was. He understood and felt and knew what pain was. So we would say the fellow was very much alive. And later in the story, he talks about sending someone back to planet Earth to warn his brothers so they don't come to the same place. So his faculty of the mind is working fine outside of the body. The body's already buried in the ground. And this story here, Jesus talks about post-retirement. Obviously, one was prepared for post-retirement and the other was not. One got on the bus or got on the plane and thought he was heading somewhere and he ended up at the wrong destination. And you know the problem with that is there's no reverse gear. There's no second opportunity. You either get it right here or you live with the consequences for eternity. God created us eternal beings, and He has made us conscious of eternity. We read in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11, He, God, has put eternity in their hearts. Every human being is given that wisdom to know that there's life beyond the grave. And the Bible also tells us that people live in fear of death. Some their whole life. Some of them never bow the knee to Jesus. Some of them never receive eternal life. They live in fear, they die in fear of meeting Jesus. In eternity, God's home is separated from the devil's home. If you would, after we leave this world, there's a Y in the road and you either go right or left, you either go up or you go down. The rich man said, send Lazarus. God said, can't be done. There's a great gulf fixed between the two and you can't cross over. Where you are is where you are, and where you are is where you will be for eternity. With such a solemn subject, we need to think. If you're here and you're not saved, you're not born again, you say, I don't know what that means. Well, it's your responsibility to find out what it means. There's all kinds of people here that can help you. I'd be willing to sit down and talk with anybody. Years ago, Wasmans had a store up the other side of Bancroft. Anybody remember Wasmans? Oh, yeah. Out in the yard, in the front of his house, there was a tombstone. Apparently he sold some. I don't know. But you know what was written on the one that was in his yard? That convicted me as a child? Prepare to meet thy God. Prepare to meet God. So if the Bible exhorts us to prepare to meet God, the logic of that is that I need to do something to get prepared. How many of you here just, you get up in the morning, you put your clothes on and you walk out the door, you never look in the mirror? I know there's some guys don't have to worry what their hair looks like. But most of us want to take a little glimpse in there and see, is there any sleep on the side of my cheek? Is my hair in rooster tails? And why do I do that? So I can prepare to meet other people for the day. If you're going down to the Blue Jays game, you do a number of things to get prepared. You're going on a trip to Florida, you're driving down, it would be normal or natural to get prepared. I'd look at the tires and say, oh, those won't last till I get back. And so I get new tires on the car. I get a new oil change. I get prepared. Every day, you women that cook meals, preparation, right? And you just don't put the carrots in the pot with the skin on them. There's preparation. You don't think of it. We don't think of it, but life is full of prepare, 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 prepare. And when you're done preparing, do some more. You get up the next morning, it's prepare again. (Clears throat) Let's think for a minute about the repentant thief on the cross. While he's dying on the cross, his partner in crime, his friend, says to him, we receive the due rewards of what we've done. Now keep in mind, when they were both hung on the cross, both of them were snickering and laughing and cursing the Lord Jesus. What a love story. God allows every human being the opportunity to repent, to seek grace, to seek mercy. And the second thief was wise enough to do that. He then turned to Jesus and requested, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. There's a lot of people, even born-again Christians, who believe that you can't have assurance of your salvation. Well, this is good enough for me. The thief was dying beside Jesus. He never got to go to church. Never had opportunity for baptism. And yet the moment he drew his last breath, he was in paradise. Here we could say, better late than never. I mean, it's kind of at the end, isn't it? You couldn't get much closer and still sneak in. Better late than never. There's another little saying that has much more wisdom than that. Better never late. As Christians, that should be what we strive for. Jesus told a story which captures this truth. Most of you would be aware of it, of a rich farmer. He had such an abundant crop, he said, listen, I got a real problem here. What I need to do is tear down my barns and build bigger barns so that I can store all my crops. And I will say to my soul... Now, the man was wise enough to know that there was at least two parts to him. There are three parts to every human being, right? We're told in the scripture, spirit, soul, body. And this man said to his soul, soul, you have many goods for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. That's the general attitude of the world. Eat, drink, and be merry. That's the way I live for the first 25 years of my life. I mean, you only go to work so that you can come to Friday and get a paycheck and go get some beer and get drunk. Eat, drink, and be merry. Now, the problem this fellow had, he had plans for many years. He's planning his retirement. And he didn't even make it to that. Now, of everybody in this room here, one of us is going to die first. That's just reality, isn't it? God said to that man, thou fool. Now, the fool in the Bible is not somebody that didn't go to college or university. You could be a doctor and be a fool. You can be a scientist. You can be a rocket scientist and be a fool. Because the Bible says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool just lives his life like God doesn't exist. And that's what the Bible calls an ungodly person. I go into the corner store and I'm looking through the drinks. I want a soda, Coca-Cola, Pepsi-Cola. I want an un-cola. I want something without cola. I want an orange. I want a Sprite. And people who live an ungodly life, they could come over and shovel your driveway. They could give you a ride to the hospital. They could do just about anything nice. But no room for God. No room for God. You live your whole life here and God knocks on your door and you never invite him in. What hope would you have of going into eternity and knocking on God's door and God says, ah, buddy, come on in. I miss you. Don't think so. Jesus said, many people who think they're Christians will not enter in. This night, your soul is required of you. No retirement. Straight into post-retirement. With no plans. Now, the question, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for death in different aspects? If God says to your husband or your wife, your daughter, your mother, your father, your son, your brother, your sister, your uncle, your aunt, tonight, can we accept that? The God who is the source of all wisdom, God who is omniscient, who knows everything, the beginning from the end. And why would my little bird brain argue with God? If he says to me, today, Garnet, you need to come home, I want to. I want to be able to say, I'm ready. I'm willing. I was ready years ago. Got on my face on the floor in a log house down the lower Turriff Road and cried out to Jesus to save me. And the Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I was ready then. Are you willing? Are you willing to say, God, you can take my wife anytime you want. God, you can take my aunt anytime you want. God, you can take my mother anytime you want. That doesn't mean I like it. It doesn't mean I'm not going to weep tears of sorrow. But let's not fight about God, or fight with God, rather. And this night, the man whom God called a fool didn't put or get to enjoy retirement, and he certainly didn't enjoy post-retirement. Psalm 14 verse 1 says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now, we have a word for that today. We call someone an atheist if they don't believe in God. Well, you can believe in God and still go to hell. The Bible says that the demons believe in God and tremble. It's not a mental fact that God's looking for. It's a heart commitment. When Gwen and I stood in front of a minister years ago, and we surrendered our lives to each other. That's a simple picture of what it means to be saved. You have in your Bible an old covenant and a new covenant. If you live under the old covenant basically says do or die. If you live under the old covenant, it just puts the death sentence on you. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The new covenant says believe and live. What do I have to do to get prepared for eternity? Well, like the thief on the cross, I need to confess Jesus Christ as my Lord, my Savior. Now, I'd like to spend the remainder of my time just showing a few slides of some of the people in Ireland who have bowed the knee and trusted Christ as their Savior. Okay. Point it at the back. Oh, I learned something new today. Okay. That man was saved probably about 12, 14 years ago. He was the first one in his family to be saved. And this girl was saved next. Then the wife, and then the other daughter. So we'll just keep going here. We haven't got a long time. This is a family from Moldova. They were saved last year. We're very encouraged to have them come into the meeting. Gwen actually led this woman to the Lord on October the 4th, I think it was last year, when we were on at a seminar. Now, I want to back up. This is another family here from Ukraine. We just recently publicly recognized him as a deacon at our meeting. Oh, man, I just look at this thing and it's going. Okay. This lady here is, her name is Helen. She's from Zambia. She's working in Ireland as a nurse. Okay, this lady here, Anne, is from South Africa. She was saved when she lived in South Africa before she moved to Ireland. This couple here, we stayed with them about 3 or 4 weeks ago. Her sister got married. This lady here married an unbeliever, and we had the opportunity to share the gospel with John. I had just written my little track on post-retirement. I asked them if they would read the track and tell me what they thought of the track, and I said, Sean, what message do you get from the track? He said, well, we need to get saved, and there's time to do it now. So, mission accomplished. That's what I wanted to find at the track. His wife was full of smiles. Okay, Andrew and Olga from Ukraine as well. Neither one of them saved. Gwen's been having Bible studies with Olga. They come out periodically to the meetings there. This man here is also from Ukraine. Now, he doesn't come out to meetings. He's been out to some men's breakfasts that we have. He's been out to church picnics that we have. We had 3 church picnics this year with the purpose of sharing the gospel. The first one we had in the year, there was 13 people come who were not saved. The second one, there was 12 people come who were not saved. And the last one, there was 9 came who were not saved. Now, the interesting thing is that some of the people that came to those were Muslims and Muslim families. They will not come to church. but they come to a place where they can hear the gospel. Ildar is a Muslim, but just recently I gave him a Bible and he promised to read. This couple here, he fought in the war. Russ was a soldier in the war at the beginning of the war. Horrible, horrible memories from that. Again, he's Muslim. The girl that he lives with, they're not married. She would be Ukraine Orthodox. Now, these two men here are both in-laws. The family at the beginning. This is the father here, and another father there. Both of them fathers to someone in the family, Roman and Yulia's parents. Now, the interesting thing is, this man has been coming for quite a long time. I would say pretty much every Sunday. Now, he was raised as a child and was told at school there is no God. That's stupidity. There is no God. So it's taken him a long time to grasp. And he said to his father-in-law a few months ago, he said, the story in Adam and Eve is real, like they were real people. Yeah. So pray for these two guys here. This man here was a former KGB. If he gets saved, it'd be like a modern day Paul. I asked him one time, I said, what was your area of service when you were in the KGB? He said, religion. So if you were in Russia, he'd be sitting in the back seat wanting to know what I'm saying. And he'd be looking at you and identifying you and leading you off to prison. This lady here, I would say probably 10 years ago, her husband and her children came to one of our Sunday school picnics, church picnics. And she stood down at the gate at the road screaming, get my kids out of there! That's a blank, 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 blank cult! She's been coming very regular. What did you say, Gwen, the last 2 or 3 months? Yeah. So God is able to change the heart. That's the key. Don't give up. She's been bringing her husband. She brought her son to one of the picnics. And this is a family here, a Muslim family that we've grown to love and appreciate. This girl here just finished a bout with cancer last spring. I weep when I think of those people going out into a lost eternity, never having heard the truth. I asked the father recently, would I be able to come to your house and talk to you once about the Lord Jesus? I said, I want to tell you something that Jesus said in the Bible, which is totally bad, totally horrible. And I want to share with you something that Jesus said in the Bible was really good. Now, when I go to his home, I will tell him and warn him about the judgment to come. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus said, when the tribulation happens, there has never been a time on planet Earth as wicked as this. So the worst is yet to come for planet Earth. And he said, when this time is over, nothing this bad will ever happen again. So if you draw a scale, you draw wickedness up to a mountain peak And Jesus said if he didn't return, that the human race would be annihilated. And we know now that that's possible through nuclear bombs, right? But he said, that's not going to happen. I'm coming back and I'm going to stop it. But the whole world will be gathered together for war. Now listen, it doesn't take much of a human mind. I haven't got a lot up here. I'm first to acknowledge that. But when I look around, I can see that the end is getting very close. And I pick up books on prophecy of men who spent years in theological seminars, 10 times as wise as I am, and they say the same message. Time is winding down. Time is winding down. Are you ready? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your kindness to us, Lord. We thank you, we praise you, that the Lord Jesus Christ was willing to leave the glories of heaven, to leave your side, Father, and come into this world, knowing that he would die the death of the cross. Peter tells us that he, Jesus, bore our sins in his own body on the tree. And we thank you, Father, that we can live today with the knowledge and the liberty from sin, knowing for sure that we're going to Jesus' home. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And the last exhortation we read in the Bible says, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you for the privilege this morning to exalt your Son. Thank you for each one who is here. Father, may there be open hearts that would receive Jesus today as Lord and Savior. Thank you, Father, for our time together. In Jesus' name, amen.